All right, everybody, welcome back to the Spartans, Wolverines, and Beards podcast. It's Hate Week.
It's Hate Week, yes, sir.
It's the week that brought, or that's the reason why we podcast.
It's the hate that fueled the pod.
Ooh, I like that.
That was off the cuff,
too. That was smooth.
I like it.
Be like one of those motivational posters, like with the kitten that says hang in there.
It's the hate. Except for it's like the opposite end of that, like feeling hate towards each other, but you know.
Yeah. We'll get there.
Details.
So yeah, thank you guys again for tuning into us for another week. If you guys haven't yet, make sure you like us on Facebook, Twitter, subscribe to us on all your favorite podcasting streaming sites. Of course, 5 stars is something that we would love to be rated at every time you listen to us.
It's strongly preferred.
But if not, drop us some suggestions. Tell us what you think. Tell us what we could do to improve on the podcast. Also, we want to say thank you to Watershed Voice for partnering with us again, allowing us to be part of the Watershed Voice family. If you guys have not yet checked out Watershed Voice, what are you doing?
Yeah. Where have you been?
What are you doing? Watershed Voice, like we've talked about before, you can get a subscription as low as like $6.50 a month, which is obviously pretty affordable. That's a couple double cheeseburgers. Just ask a fat guy.
Yeah, I'm telling you what.
So I think with that, we'll just go ahead and kind of lay out the show. Today, we're going to talk some high school sports, week 6 results, some games that we didn't think were going to happen ended up happening. Some teams ended up finding some opponents to prep for the playoffs. We're going to talk about the playoffs for high school football. Of course, we're going to get into some Hate Week.
We're going to get into some hate week.
And then we're going to recap the Lions' 23-22 Cardiac Cat victory against the Atlanta Falcons on the road.
The miracle in Hotlanta.
The miracle in Hotlanta, man. Woo! I was excited. I was pretty pumped.
I imagine.
But I think the only real bit of news that we've got today is that just breaking, the Detroit Lions traded a conditional 6th-round 2021 pick to the Dallas Cowboys for Everson Griffin. Which, if you're not familiar with Everson Griffin, he was the Minnesota Viking that every time he played us, absolutely mauled us. I think
that's an understatement.
I think he's got 74, 75 career sacks, 19 of them against the Lions.
Yeah.
So it'll be nice to have him in Honolulu.
Another good little piece to help the pass rush. So.
Yeah, and there was a lot of speculation on what the Lions were going to do. Are they going to buy? Are they going to sell coming into the trade deadline? It's going to be interesting to see if they're done yet. There's talk that Marvin Jones might get traded away. But I think after this past week's performance, I don't see the value in that. I think when he performs well, that offense really performs well.
Yeah, I mean, he's such a dynamic piece. He just doesn't seem like he gets used or targeted near enough.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And I mean, with it being a contract year, it's between him or Galladay. I much rather would keep Galladay.
It's going to cost you a lot more.
It's going to cost you a lot more, but I think it would be hard to let him go.
Yeah, we'll see.
So, Jordan, do you you got any thoughts, or are you ready to roll into some high school sports?
No, I think we're ready to roll. Let's get some recap of last week's action and then preview the playoff matchups to come.
Sounds good. We will be right back with some high school sports.
Alrighty, we are back. It is time for our local segment, some high school sports. Touch on last week's football results, 3 Rivers soccer results, and then we will preview the upcoming playoff matchups and kind of our thoughts on some of these matchups. Looks like the county got some tough draws in some of the higher divisions and some favorable draws in lower divisions, in my opinion. So we'll run down last week's results, and then we'll touch on the playoff preview. So I think with that, Lane, I think we're ready to get rolling. You think so? Okay, so our first game last week, three of us went to Allegan, a game we thought was going to be canceled because I thought I had heard that Allegan folded up their season. But good news for the Wildcats is it didn't, because the Cats get their first win of the year, 27-6 over the Tigers. So a nice win for the Wildcats to close out the regular season.
Yeah, absolutely, Jordan. And with this game, everything I've read about it, special teams is what won this game for Three Rivers. Returned a kick and as well as a blocked a punt for a touchdown. So
yeah, hopefully they can carry that going forward. The next game we had was Sturgis at Plainwell. Ended up being a forfeit. I think Plainwell's still dealing with all of their COVID issues. So Sturgis gets a forfeit victory. Next down the line, Mendon traveled to Galesburg Augusta and handled business 58-7. Hornets finished 5-1 on the year, second place in the conference behind the Centerville Bulldogs, and they are prepped for their pre-district matchup next week.
Yeah, Jordan, that game was over pretty much at halftime. It was 40-0. At halftime, Jackson Kratzer brought in four of the touchdowns before in the first half. So, yeah, Mendon, quick little tune-up game, and they're ready to rock and roll, man. Looks like Jackson Kratzer.
To be fair,
165.
Galesburg scored their most points of the year against Mendon.
And one TD, so.
Their highest total before that was six versus Delton, and they scored seven against Mendon. So, Hornets are going to have to stiffen that up a little bit. I don't know. moving forward, our next game, ended up being a conference championship game. Coloma goes to Constantine, and the Falcons piled it on 70-32. And I'm going to go out on a limb and guess Constantine had somewhere around 450 yards rushing. 450.
You know what? Let me look.
I was close.
How much you say? Ooh, 477. Constantine had
five. Yeah, I think the Falcons are poised to make a nice little push here.
Talk about a state
in Division 6.
Going into the playoffs. That's getting done.
Centerville continued on their dominance at home versus Mount Morris, 42-0. Bulldogs earned themselves a bye in the postseason. So that's good for them to get rested up and ready to make their big push in Division 8.
Yeah, Centerville just
218, 4, and 15 against. So that's pretty daggone good. 15
points put up against them all season.
It's an interesting draw that they have going forward.
It's going to be their draw. Well, we'll talk about it in a little bit.
Yeah, moving forward, White Pigeon bounces back from their forfeit loss from COVID and gets a win over Leslie 28-22. Once again, kind of reiterating what we've been preaching here, that White Pigeon's is a pretty good team, just fell on some bad luck early in the year. And if they can avoid the Rona, then I think they've got a shot to make some noise here in the postseason.
Yeah, Jordan, I don't have any stats on this game. I'm just quickly looking. But yeah, it's like we said, the record's
it'll be interesting to see how they progress going
forward. I think they'll be a team.
Moving into the eight-man. Burr Oak takes one on the chin this week. Their first loss of the year, 52-19 from Portland St. Patrick. That's the first real vulnerability we've seen from the Bobcats this year. Portland St. Patrick is undefeated on the year. And I think, if I recall, when I looked at the AP rankings, they were ranked number one or number two in the AP rankings, or they were right up there towards the top.
Yeah, like you said, Jordan, they really did take it out of the chin this week. Unfortunately, they aren't going to be their first undefeated team in school history.
Just got to take your lumps.
I think if they can right the
rebounded
ship,
for the postseason,
they'll be just fine.
Moving on, Colin goes to Battle Creek St. Philip and rolls 55-8. Colin, another team, I believe they were sixth or seventh in the eight-man AP this week, if I recall. And I think they're set up to have a nice little run too. And there's actually a potential cross county matchup setting up between these two if things hold serve with the postseason.
Yeah, Jordan, and that's going to be an interesting matchup if everything holds up. But just touching base on this Colon St. Philip game, is basically domination, and Mason Blair really led the way with 4 TDs for the Magi. Let me see what he's got here. 38 rushing yards, 2 touchdowns. So, yeah.
That wraps up last week's football. Well. We had their 3rd soccer in the district final did get beat. Can't spit it out. Lost to St. Joe, 8-0. Puts an end to a pretty good season for the Wildcats, unfortunately, but, you know, got to that district final game, so that's still something to hold your head up about.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, yep. Kudos to them.
So previewing the postseason matchups that we have, we're going to go down the list, biggest to smallest, so we'll start with Sturgis because they are Division III. They have to go to Coldwater. The Cardinal this year, they play in a pretty tough conference generally, and they do come in this year at 4-2. Losses to Harper Creek and Hastings, but they've got some wins over, you know, win over Marshall, win over Grand Haven. So Coldwater looks to be a pretty pretty sizable foe for the Trojans in this first matchup.
Yeah, kind of a unfavorable
draw. Yep, these games aren't one on paper. It's about who wants it more this time of year. It's win or go home. We'll see if the Trojans can muster up a win here and upset the Cardinal on the road. Moving into Division 4, Three Rivers goes to Hastings. Said the Cats got their first win of the year last year. From what I'm looking at here with Hastings, it's going to be a tough road to hoe for the Cats. They are 5-1 right now. And they have some pretty impressive wins this year. We mentioned the win over Coldwater. They have a win over Jackson Lumen Christie. They have a win over Penfield, a win over Charlotte. I mean, hey, this Hastings team has been pretty impressive this year. And it's going to be a tough road to hoe for the Cats. We'll have to see what kind of fight they can put up in this game.
This definitely would be a game. I think the Hastings team's going to be one to watch if they can continue to roll. Three Rivers got their hands full, man. But
yeah, this time of year, crazy weather can play a factor. You never know. You got to come in and you play every snap like it's your last one. And some of these kids, it's the last time they're ever going to play football, so they'll be inspired. And hopefully, the Cats can come out and fight. Moving to Division 6, Constantine's at home versus Water of Elite. Mm-hmm. The Falcons have been on a tear. And I see no reason why this doesn't continue. It's a rematch from what we got there, week technically 3. And the Falcons beat Water of Elite 55-6. I don't see any reason that changes. But like we just mentioned with Sturgis and Three Rivers, these games aren't played on paper. So you can't rest on your laurels. They gotta get it done.
Yeah. I think Constantine rolls
because absolutely. So moving to Division 8, we talked about Centerville gets a bye. They're the number 2 ranked team still in the AP poll. I saw somehow they're still behind Reading, even though Reading lost last week. So I guess I'd have to try to look Reading up and see kind of what their win loss record is and kind of what the points look like. But Centerville did end up being the number 2 ranked team in Division 8, so they get a bye. It moves us into Saugatuck coming to White Pigeon to face the Chiefs. Saugatuck sits at 3-3. Pigeon's 3-2, as we said. Or technically 3-3, I guess, with the forfeit. But, in the games they've played, they're 3-2. Saugatuck looks like they, if my computer will load here, losses against Schoolcraft, Delton, and Lawton. Going to be tough for White Pigeon, but I don't see any reason. The games they lost, they got smacked around. So I think this is a game I think that White Pigeon can take. No, you're closer than the experts think.
You know, I do too. But I don't know who the hell the experts are. But
close. Maybe I guess it could be us. So last game in Division 8, Mendon at home against Cass.
Hey, that's a scary
one. They were supposed to play in Week 5, but Cass had to forfeit. I don't know if that was COVID-related. I think it may have been, or it was injury-related or something. But Cass did play last week, and they got walloped by Berrien Springs 41-0. So I think Mendon probably comes in here and rolls, all things considered, obviously.
Yeah, absolutely. This is definitely a game, though, that Mendon wants to come in focus, try to...
Yeah, Division 8's not going to be a cakewalk to get out of this region. Centerville, White Pigeon, and Mendon all already playing each other, and just they're going to have to beat up on each other again if they want to get out and get make a push for that state final. Moving to the 8-man, both Colwyn and Baroque this year are in Division 2. Baroque has Tri-Unity Christian Defenders. That is a mouthful. From Wyoming, so up by Grand Rapids area. They come in at 2-4. Looks like they've done nothing but give up a whole lot of points throughout the year. So this is a game that, in my mind, I kind of hope that Baroque can take because I want to see that matchup next week.
Yeah, I'm with you, Jordan. I like you said, the Tri-Unity.
Yeah, I'm kind of hoping too. So the next match, last one we have. Colwyn versus Climax. This is a couple weeks ago they played. Colwyn rolled them 49-6. Once again, games aren't played on paper, but with everything going into this, you kind of feel like Colwyn has the edge up here and would get this victory pretty handily.
Yeah, I'm with you, Jordan. Yeah. I think Colwyn should roll in this one, but this one also kind of feels a little bit like a trap.
And if so I remember Colwyn correctly,
doesn't look too far.
If Colwyn wins and Baroque wins, they play each other next week. Was that correct when I looked the bracket right? So that'll be fun. That's little bragging rights. Those two towns aren't very far apart. No, they don't.
That'll be fun.
Play during the regular season, so that'll be kind of fun. So we'll see. The high school playoffs are always fun.
A lot of
passion in these games, and I think we have some local teams here who can make a really good run between the Centervilles, the Mendons, the White Pigeons, the Constantines. See if some of these teams can make a pretty good push to get to that state final this year.
Yeah,
we will see.
It's going to be very interesting for St. Joe.
I'm making a prediction. I think Centerville seeds Ford Field this year. I'm gonna go out on a limb and make that prediction. I think Centerville gets to Ford Field this year.
Ooh.
And I'm gonna have to ask. I will ask about it. I think that may be the first time Centerville's ever been to a state title game. I can look on here. But I can scroll back a ways and look while we keep going. But I think that would probably be their first time ever. So it will be interesting to see, no doubt. So did you have any other local stuff we wanted to touch on?
Yeah, absolutely.
Or do you think
that
about
take.
Covers everything?
I like it.
Okay, just to recap, I've gone back to 1970.
Nah, man, I'm ready to roll.
Centerville in a state title game anywhere. So let's go Bulldogs. All righty, we'll take a quick break, and we will do
our 50 years in the making.
Week.
Yeah, go Bulldogs.
It's Hate Week.
Yes,
I know already did that, but I like to say it anyways because this is my favorite. I don't know if I can say favorite. Yeah, it's probably my favorite week of the year because it's a guaranteed win every year.
Oh,
had to. Mm-hmm. Okay, only recently. So those of you that don't know, Hate Week is what this podcast is founded on, Michigan versus Michigan State this week. So well, before we get into this week, let's touch on recap of last week's game. For those of you that were living under a rock and don't watch Big Ten football, Michigan State takes one on the chin at home against Rutgers. A sloppy, ugly, I don't know that there's another thing to say about it game. I guess, Lane, what
not
do you...
Unbecoming.
Yeah, I mean, 7 turnovers. It just it was the epitome of ugly.
Yeah, not going to win ball games that very too many ball games that way, and Mel Tucker came out and said ball security is job security. So if that's the case, there's a lot of people that shouldn't be starting next week.
Yeah, so I mean, I guess, is this a gut check week where, like, it's like, okay, during the week for practice, are starting jobs on the line? Like, are guys, you know, it's either shit or get off the pot time? I mean,
you know, it's tough because when you look at a game like Rutgers coming in with a new head coach, and like we talked about previewing that game, you want to be able to experiment a little bit. Like, you want to see if Peyton Thorne can play. You want to see if all these guys can, and Theo Day and everybody, you can see if they can play, and you end up going down, I think it was, what, 14-0 to Rutgers early? Something
quick, like that. Yeah, it was down. They were down quick.
And, I mean, it's you're not in an ideal situation going forward. I don't think Rocky Lombardi's stat line isn't terrible. I mean, he's 31 for 43, 319 yards. But a lot of those were just short dump passes.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you watch the game, and I know I texted you at one point and you said you were driving and you weren't actually watching at the time. I had a lot of people say that they didn't think he played bad. I thought he played god-awful. I mean, the interceptions that he threw were horrid. And if Rutgers was a competent team, he probably threw two more.
Yeah, and, you know, I would agree that he can't throw downfield to save his life. And I think going into a game like this upcoming weekend, you're going to have to.
Right.
Because, I mean, we'll get to your Michigan talk. But I don't know. Like, this game was not a good start for the Mel Tucker era. The only positive, I would say, is Jaden Reed was 11 receptions, 128 yards, 2 TDs. So, I mean, Jaden Reed looked as good as advertised.
Yeah.
But
it got to a point where Lombardi was staring him down.
Yeah. Yeah. And that was it. I mean, it got to the point where he was the only one Lombardi trusted, and that was it.
Yeah.
Connor Hayward didn't look good. Elijah Collins looked god awful.
Let's break it down. The offensive line didn't look good.
No. And that was one of the things that I had previewed, saying, how good is this offensive line going to be?
Well, yeah, you had a lot of experience coming back.
Yeah, exactly. And they looked god-awful against Rutgers. Now, I mean, I can't believe I'm going to say this, but Greg Schiano, if we remember, did have Rutgers in a good place when he left for the NFL.
Greg Schiano's a good coach, and yeah. I think he'll get Rutgers back to being competitive. Now, you do have to remember the caveat of when he was at Rutgers before. They were in the now-dismantled Big East.
Right.
So the competition wasn't near what it is now. But I do think in 3 or 4 years, he can have Rutgers being competitive. I think he can have Rutgers being the Purdue, Indiana kind of Northwestern line where they have a cycle up year and they can beat teams. And a normal year, they're, you know, middle of the pack.
Right, exactly. So, I mean, it's so hard to read because – it's first week. I mean, a lot of spread offense for them. You never saw that. So, I mean, it's going to take some adjusting. Unfortunately, it's a game you should have won.
Yeah.
To roll into this week with some kind of momentum. But I don't know. You would hope you'd see some, in the spirit of Halloween, some tricks and treats for Michigan this weekend.
Yeah. So let me ask you, if I set the over-under for the rest of the year at 1.5 wins, would you take the over or the under?
I take the over.
Where do you see 2 wins at? On this schedule, with what you just watched, where do you see 2 wins?
Well, I think Penn State is a winnable matchup. I'm trying to find their schedule here.
So you got Michigan this week, and then Iowa, Indiana, Maryland, Northwestern, Ohio State, Penn State.
I still see Northwestern, potentially Penn State.
I mean, Maryland, in my mind, is the only game that's, like, you feel confident about.
I would say Maryland, possibly Penn State, and Northwestern.
Interesting. I think if the line was 1.5, I think I might take the under, because I don't see 2 wins.
You just hate Michigan State.
Yeah, but I'm just I watched that game. I watched every snap of that game, and I actually think they have a better shot against Iowa in 2 weeks than anybody else besides Maryland. Northwestern looked pretty damn good.
But here's the thing, though. I mean, how much of that is a new style offense, a new sure. coach? I mean,
yeah.
Lombardi's it's, entire career played under center. And like,
yeah, it's first expected week.
To be 4 or 5 yards back and in a shotgun formation the entire game. So it's going to take some growing pains.
We'll see. Yeah, they've got. They definitely have to grow. They definitely have to. There's got to be strides made, and I think it's going to be a tough road to hoe here. I mean, there's a very good potential that they're 0-4 to start the year, and I think Mel Tucker starts the mass exodus at that point, and guys are going to be gone.
Okay.
I mean, you think about it. If they lose this weekend, then they have at Iowa versus Indiana. I mean, that's very low. They won't be favored in any of those games.
No, that's a good point.
So there's a good – that's a possibility they're 0-4, and I think you see players starting to hit the road. Just my opinion. I guess let's go on to the other game of the pod, Michigan. And the game day, game of the week, goes up to Minnesota and sinks PJ Fleck's boat. And what did it end up being? 49-24, was that the final?
Yeah, and by all intents and purposes, that should have been 55-24.
Yeah, there was a point in that game where I was texting one of my buddies and I said, you know, this should be 52-7.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you take away the dumb mistakes that Michigan made early on, the 15-yard blocking out of bounds, the block punt, take away just the boneheaded mistakes, Minnesota had one drive where they put a drive together and scored, and that was the first drive out of the halftime. Otherwise, the other drive for field goals, and then the other touchdown was off the block punt.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, all intents and purposes, Michigan dominated that game. And the one thing that I will say that felt different about this game from years past with Michigan as a Michigan fan, it's been almost like the Lions for me, where, oh, yeah, we get up early, but you never feel comfortable. Like, oh, God, some shit's going to happen, and it's going to get bad, and this game's going to get close in the fourth, and we're screwed. But I never felt that way. I mean, I truly felt, after the block punt and when Michigan got the lead, that from that point on, I felt comfortable with that game the rest of the way out. I mean, Joe Milton looked spectacular. Mm-hmm. I mean, he didn't do anything to, like, wow you, I will say. That play where he rolled to his left and slung it 48 yards on the run away from his arm and almost hit Giles Jackson in the end zone was damn impressive. But he never did anything that wowed you, but he also didn't do anything that made you think, you probably shouldn't do that. I mean, he showed off the arm. He showed his ability to run. And I think that willingness to run is going to open up Josh Gattis's offense a lot because that's something that Shea Patterson just never showed.
Yeah.
He never showed last year like he wanted to run. And I know they say he got hurt first play of the year against Middle Tennessee last year, blah, 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 whatever. I don't care. The Milton's willingness to run is going to change his offense drastically, in my opinion.
Well, and I believe you've alluded to it and we've spoken about it before, and Joe Milton is very much a Cam Newton-esque player.
Right.
Just a big athletic dude that can throw the ball like he's got a friggin' cannon for an arm and he's good luck trying to take him down in the open field.
Yeah, arm tackles aren't going to work on him. And they showed that they used him along the goal line a couple times to, I mean, that's like the JT Barrett move with Ohio State in all years past because he's just such a big physical runner. He's hard to take down. So that's going to be a huge asset going forward. I think offensively, I have no gripes. I think the play calling early in the game was a little bit blah, but I think Gattis got into a rhythm and probably mid-second quarter on, I think he called a flawless game.
Yeah, and I mean, and I think one thing we've got to keep in mind for Big Ten football as a whole is like with the play calling and stuff, I mean, in all reality, in any normal year, we'd be, what, week 8 right now?
Yeah, right, yeah.
So, I mean, and this is true. Week 1. So, I mean, everybody else has opened their playbook completely, and we're just cracking it open right now. So,
yeah, no, that's fair. That's fair. And I know a lot of the gripes that I've heard from, you know, because Michigan fans are never happy. A lot of the gripes I heard is, well, Minnesota really ran the ball pretty well against our defense, and they did. But Minnesota did what they wanted to do. and that's force Ibrahim the ball. Yeah. I mean, and if you stop right now and you take a snapshot of the entire Big Ten, who's the best running back in the conference? Right. It's probably him. It's probably Mo Ibrahim. I mean, now Noah Cain's hurt at Penn State. So, I mean, Ohio State doesn't really have a great running back. Justin Fields. Wisconsin doesn't have their featured horse, you know. Iowa doesn't have some big stud. I mean, honestly, Ibrahim's probably the best running back in the conference. And if you take the fact that he could be the best running back in the conference from a team that prides themselves on running the ball and then RPOs, it's really not that bad. So, yes, I would like to see run fits cleaned up a little bit and things smoothed out a little bit. But like we said, first game, Don Brown's still going to do Don Brown things where he has to run man-to-man on 3rd and 12 for some reason and the crossing route burns us. I don't know why he can't get over that on 3rd down.
Is he talking to Matt Patricia?
Oh, Christ. It's annoying because then it's all you see on Twitter. Oh, here you go, 3rd and 12, running man and a crossing route burns you. Yeah, I get it. Don Brown's going to do that. It's just how he is. We got to learn to live with it at this point. I think all together, top to bottom, I give Michigan an A, like an A minus grade for week one.
Yeah.
I was pleasantly surprised.
Yeah. You know, I mean, early in the game when he first watched it and you saw Minnesota start to roll and you thought, oh, crap. Like, this is going to be a typical Michigan on the road, top tier team, upper tier team, game day. Like, it's just.
Shit their pants, yeah.
Same stuff, different day. But then you saw, was it Charbonnet turned around and ran 70-something yards?
Well, I don't even think it's fair to give it to him. You got to give that to Ben Mason and Jalen Mayfield because they caved the right side of that offensive or that defensive line. He didn't get
touched. You know, and that's the thing I wanted to kind of talk about is Ben Mason for a fullback is a lot of your offense is dependent on Ben Mason. I mean,
He's the kind of guy Harbaugh likes, just that guy that loves football and he just wants to hit people.
And I mean, the unsportsmanlike penalty right off the gate, I personally think it's a dumb penalty to do, but I don't hate the penalty. You're setting the tone.
Like, I think it was a guy I work with, I think it was him that told me, he's like, that you hate that penalty, but at the same time you love that penalty. Because it shows that you have guys that care. You have guys that want to. So, I mean, you got to take a grain of salt and just hope that those kind of things don't happen in key moments like they do in the Ohio State game every freaking year. So, like I said, all in all, though, AA minus grade. We got Sparty this week, and then it's a tough stretch. Two games in a row for Michigan at Indiana, home versus Wisconsin. There aren't going to be cakewalks.
So, now let me ask you about Indiana real quick. Did you get that? Did he get the 2 points? Did he?
God, I don't know. I have seen so many different angles. I see one that's like, yeah, he's in, definitely. And then I see other one that's like, I don't know. That tip of the ball might have been down before he got there. I think I go with my gut and say yes, because I think a lot of the reason people are saying no is because they're going off of where the ball touched the pylon. And that's not what it is. It's when it crosses the plane. Right. So that ball could have crossed the plane, which you can't see. There's no angle to show that before it gets to the pylon and before the ball's down. So my gut's going to say yes, he
was. Yeah, I was going to say he was in by a nose of the football, maybe.
Hell of a play. I mean, Michael Penix in the last drive and overtime was a dude.
Well, you keep doing that. They keep having big games like that. That's how Heisman campaigns are born.
Absolutely. Well, and that was, you know, he missed a lot of throws early in that game. I actually think Indiana was the better team the whole game. Now, the yardage and stuff wouldn't say that, but Penix missed a lot of throws. Like, if he hits some of the throws that he missed wide open, I don't even think that game goes to overtime. I think Indiana wins it in regulation.
Yeah, no, I agree with you.
So, and plus, you know, we'll get to that here in a second, but I did pick that. Just throw that salt in that wound. So I think before we get to our pick, what's your one overreaction? Start with Michigan State. For week one, everybody's got the overreaction. What's your overreaction for week one? Good or bad?
The bad overreaction is that Mel Tucker is a bad hire. That's a lot of things I've seen. I think I've seen a lot of Twitterverse saying that he's been a bad hire. He's not a good fit. I mean, we'd never lose to Rutgers under D'Antonio. I mean, to quote Aaron Rodgers, relax. Like, it's one game. We don't have any expectations this season. We weren't expected to play for the Rose Bowl or go to the national title game. We knew we had a rough season ahead of us. There's going to be a lot of growing pains. Just relax.
Yeah. So mine, I think I alluded to it earlier, but I think one win is the ceiling.
Okay.
That's my overreaction for me. Like, with what I saw, one win is the ceiling for that team.
Okay.
I think Maryland is the game that they have to win if they want to win this year. Well, like I said, overreaction, one game. Could be very wrong, but that's the week one overreaction that I had.
Okay.
So, Michigan, my overreaction is Michigan is the second best team in the conference, and it's not close.
Okay.
Ohio State is clearly the best team in the conference, and I think it's Ohio State, Gap, Michigan, Gap, Wisconsin, Gap.
Okay.
That's my overreaction for Michigan.
So I think my overreaction for Michigan and drop my mic here.
Lane's throwing stuff.
Sorry.
You don't have to get angry. The game hasn't even started yet.
The rage. no, I think my one overreaction is that Joe Milton will be a first round draft pick.
After this year? Woo! God, I hope not.
And
I want him for one more year so J.J. McCarthy has a redshirt year
I say that is because there's always one player on one team that comes out and just dominates. And you saw that kind of with Joe Burrow last year at LSU. The Mason's there. I mean, if Michigan rolls into Ohio State undefeated, Ohio State's undefeated, I think you're going to hear a lot of stock into him going way up.
Yeah, I mean, and he doesn't necessarily even have to put up like Heisman numbers because he has the NFL build. Like, he's perfect for the NFL. It's just he's going to have to maximize that talent. We will see for sure. He's going to get tested all season. So that is definitely an overreaction right now. I thought you were going to say Heisman. He'll be in New York or something.
Like, No, not there yet.
That's not an overreaction. You're in a different planet.
Not yet, but I can see if Michigan keeps rolling and he puts up some gaudy numbers. There'll be some talk.
I think he could be second team Big Ten behind Fields. I think he could be a second best quarterback in the league.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
I think that's not unrealistic.
No, not at all.
So do you have anything else recap-wise, or should we take a quick break here?
Let's roll in some pick 'em.
All right, we're going to take a short little break. We'll be right back with our pick 'em segment.
All right, you heard the music. It's pick'em time. Normally, we allow the winner of the prior week to bring us in, but Jordan brought in the past couple, so you got to listen to me bring us in, so deal with it. So, yes, last week, not a good week for me. Just want to say thank you to Penn State for playing like dog crap, and thank you for Minnesota for letting me down.
I mean, some of us called that, but
some of us did. I wasn't that someone.
I would like to take this moment to personally thank Michael Penix for being very long, and I would like to thank Michigan for just being better than Minnesota, and Minnesota having 10 players injured with no kicker and punter.
See, I thought you were about ready to drop the Conor McGregor. I mean, like, I'd like to apologize for absolutely nothing.
Yeah, that would be – I should have done that, but, you know, didn't think into that deeply. So, recapping last week, like Lane said, I did win last week with 5 wins, 2 losses, the 2 losses being MSU and Iowa. And I want the record to show I had Purdue, And yeah. You talked me off of that when you told me that Brom was hurt. And then I heard Rondell Moore was hurt. And I was like, okay, I'm really glad I didn't take Purdue. And then the damn Boilermakers go on and win. David Bell gets 15 catches or whatever the hell it was.
Hey, man, I didn't put a gun to your
head. Hey, you were just too persuasive. I couldn't take it.
The power of persuasion.
I'm telling you what, isn't that a book?
I think it is.
It might be. I don't know. Either way. So, looking into this week, a couple good matchups. The headliner, Reed's good, but in all opinion, my opinion is probably not going to be as good. Then obviously we have Hate Week, and then a couple of the lower card games would be decent too. So it'll be interesting to see kind of where we go here, and I'm interested. I think we have at least two swing games potentially, but we'll see kind of where your head's at with what I picked. So first game we got on the docket is Friday night. Minnesota goes to Maryland, the dumpster fire. I got the Gophers here in a rebound. How about you?
Yeah, I'm with you. Minnesota rebounds.
I think convincingly, too. I don't think you need a kicker or punter to beat Maryland this year.
No.
Moving into Saturday noon, Purdue goes to Illinois. This will be an interesting game. You know, Purdue, like we said, beats Iowa last week. Illinois really struggled against Wisconsin. Not really sure, you know, what to expect. Is Brom going to be back? Is Rondell Moore going to play? Because I heard Rondell Moore was a suspension, not an injury. So there's a lot of unknown there. What do you have for this game?
You know what? I'm taking Purdue. I just think talent wise, just a little bit better than
Illinois. Yeah, I think I'm going with Purdue also. Watch, they're going to bite me, and Illinois is going to win this week because Purdue is going to be my kryptonite this year. I'm going to start Costanza, and I'm doing the opposite of whatever the hell it is. We will skip the other noon game for obvious reasons. Saturday, 3:30, Wisconsin at Nebraska. This game takes on a whole new level now. For those of you that don't know, Graham Mertz's COVID test is positive. He is officially out. It's on the internet now. It is 100% official. He will not play Saturday. The other speculation is that their backup quarterback and third string, Carson Wolf, has not practiced, and there's rumors that he tested positive. Now, he would have to take the PCR test and test positive on that one as well before he'd be ruled out, but they could be potentially playing a, I guess, fourth-string quarterback because Jack Cohn, the original starter, got hurt to start the year. So all of that said, Wisconsin goes to Nebraska. Does that change anything in your opinion, Lane?
You know, the injuries and all that jazz, that does. Nebraska, for a little while, hung with Ohio State. Then the Justin Fields thing. So I'm actually going to take the Cornhuskers.
I am too. I'm taking Nebraska too. I reiterate what you said. Nebraska fought with Ohio State for a little bit and then just got out talented. I think Adrian Martinez looks better, and then you have Luke McCaffrey, Christian's youngest brother, who looked pretty dynamic in there. So that's an interesting wrinkle. And then with the unknown at QB, and then Wisconsin's running game really didn't look that great. I just don't see how Wisconsin's going to score a lot of points. Now, I know their defense is extremely good, but I could see this, let's just say, bet the under on this game. But I see Nebraska winning like a 14-10 kind of game.
I like
it. So moving forward, Northwestern goes to Iowa. Wildcats off a big win at home over Maryland. Now, how big is that with the Maryland factor? And then Iowa really couldn't get out of their own way against Purdue at home. Takes the L. I'm going to ride the Wildcats right now. I'm taking Northwestern. I think Pat Fitzgerald is the perfect coach for a pandemic because he's got a culture and a program and guys that just do the right thing every day and show up and work. And that's the kind of thing you need in this type of season where you just can't afford mistakes. They play mistake-free football. I like the Wildcats to get to 2-0.
All right. I like it. But I'm not so fast, my friend.
The Hawkeyes.
I'm taking the Hawkeyes.
Yeah, and I might regret it because it's at Kinnick, but at the same time, it's not the same with no fans. And I didn't like what I saw from what I did of Iowa, and I trust Northwestern a little bit more.
That's fair. No, that's entirely fair, man.
So the final 3:30 game, Indiana goes to Rutgers. Rutgers ended their 22-game winning streak.
21
game winning streak. Who did they beat again?
Shut up.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. So Rutgers off their first win. Actually, hang on. Excuse me. I need to address this properly. The 1-0 Big Ten East Conference leading Rutgers Scarlet Knights at home against the Indiana Hoosiers. I gave that great intro and hyped them all up to say they are going to get routed. I got Indiana big.
You got Indiana big. Yeah, I'm with you. I think Michael Penix is... He's gonna be a problem this year if he can stay healthy.
The only thing you gotta worry about here is a hangover from Indiana. Yeah. I mean, that's an emotional win. Hopefully the hangover is not too big, but I still think the Hoosiers could even sleepwalk and probably still be all right. They're far more talented, I think, than what Rutgers is.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm taking that Indiana.
Then the nightcap game, Ohio State goes to what normally would be torture in Penn State and the whiteout, but obviously no fans. The whiteout is much less daunting. I think it's OSU, and I don't think it's close. The last line I saw, I think, was 13, and I would play that easily. Sean Clifford, in my mind, as a Michigan fan, what the one thing that's always hindered Michigan in beating Ohio State is a good quarterback play, and I don't think Penn State has good quarterback play. I think Sean Clifford is not good, even remotely. I don't see how they stay in this. Their defense is good, but Ohio State's just got athletes everywhere. I think they run it up.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm thinking this is going to be like a 44-14 kind of game. I just think Ohio State just...
I could see Penn State sneaking in a couple touchdowns there, 21-24, something like that. But, yeah, you've got to score in the 40s minimum to beat Ohio State, and I just don't think Penn State can do that, not with Clifford at quarterback.
Yeah, that's fair.
So then we get to the big game, the brand game, the beard game, the hate week, everything about it. The only unfortunate thing is I think this game has lost a little bit of luster. Maybe we've jinxed the pot or jinxed Michigan State by making this podcast. But
yeah, probably.
So I guess why don't you go ahead and go first? I think we know where I'm going. We'll see if you will bite the bullet.
So I'm just going to put you out of your misery right now. I am not. I am taking Michigan in this game. I think if they could pull out a victory, I will be the happiest State fan maybe in this county. But I'm not expecting a lot out of them. I mean, I think the biggest strength that I saw from Michigan was how fast and how athletic their linebacking and defensive line core was. And we already said that Michigan State's offensive line looked god awful.
Yeah.
Now, Michigan secondary, it's questionable. I do think State has the receivers to get the better side of them. But I don't, with that linebacking core and that defensive line, I don't see us getting the run game going. So I see another situation where it was this past Saturday where you're going to expect Lombardi to drop back and throw 45 times.
Yeah.
And we've seen that he's good at dump offs, but he's not good at pushing it downfield. I think if this game gets ugly, I think they need to start rotating players in, because what better game to get some experience than this game?
Right.
But I'm hoping for the best, but I'm expecting the worst. I think Michigan rolls, and I don't even think it's going to be close.
Yeah, the spread came in at 25.5, last number I saw, and it's been climbing. So
yeah.
I'm with you. I think right now Mel Tucker came into a bad situation at a bad time, and then a pandemic happened and made it worse for him.
Well, and we forget about that Mel Tucker came in February.
Yeah,
and spring games were supposed to start in April.
It would have been a tough year on a regular year. I mean, and now you throw into it, you've lost all this time, and Michigan State had shutdowns where they weren't in the building at all.
Yep.
It's a year, like you said. I think they need to play some younger guys here to get some experience and just see what you have, you know, mm-hmm. for the future. So I like Michigan big. I would play the points in this game. It doesn't seem like Michigan State has anywhere near the athletes to run with them.
No. And I mean, I think if you can, I think Jaden Reed is one of them that could be a breakout star for us this season, but I think outside of that, man, it could get ugly, especially with that offensive line if they can't button it up real quick.
Yep. No, I think we're on the same page there. So we have, what, one different game this week?
We have one different game. So you don't have the bell, but you keep the bell.
Right. Yeah. So that's good. It means I can't lose my lead. I can gain a little bit of ground. I like it.
See?
I like it.
See? But you're not going to gain ground. You're going to lose ground.
Yeah, we'll see about that. So I think, given that we've got quite a bit of – got a little bit of time here. Why don't we just go ahead, roll right into the NFL and the Lions?
Yeah. So Sunday, I mean, some happiness. It would have been a great weekend if State would have won, Lions would have won. I went 2-for-4 in fantasy football. Not a bad weekend overall.
I snuck out a hell of a win by 0.46 points.
Yes, you did. Thank you for the Bears scoring the last little late touchdown for you.
Yep, that meaningless touchdown got me a fantasy win.
Yes, it did. I'm struggling right now, man. We'll get to that later date. The Lions travel down to Atlanta, end up pulling out a patented Matt Stafford last second comeback win, 23-22. By all intents and purposes, they should have lost that game. Because Todd Gurley had an absolute brain fart.
Well, it was the Penn State-Indiana game all over again. Yeah. It was the exact same situation. Penn State could have done the same thing Saturday. Running back goes in and scores. Indiana goes down. Yeah, same thing. Gurley tried, too. You could tell. He got to, like, the one-yard line, and he was like, shit, no.
And he realized it as soon as Raglan let off tackling him.
That was well done by the Lions' defense. They sold it well.
Yes, they did. And as soon as he broke through the line, I'm screaming at the TV, let him score! Let him score!
Yeah.
And he ends up, he falls at the one, but the nose of the football crosses the goal line. And he knew he messed up, gave Matty Stafford too much time. Stafford ends up going down with 1:04 left. Hockenson almost blows it for us by not going out of bounds.
Yeah, that was a hell of a play by those defenders, though.
Yeah,
That was a hell of a play.
Yeah, that was impressive. And it was like one thing they talked about with Hockenson at Iowa. Ferentz teaches them as a tight end, never go out of bounds, push up field.
Yeah,
and you could see that hit, and then you could see, oh crap, I got to get out of bounds, and he did. But thank God we got Matt Stafford, drove the field, last second touchdown, tosses it to Hock to redeem himself, and that was that, man. Danny Amendola got a unsportsmanlike penalty, which pushed the field goal back a little bit further. I mean, it would have been the ultimate Lions thing to do to miss the extra point overtime and then lose it.
No shit.
But hey, you know what? I'll take it. Lions 3-3. Definitely changed the outlook of the season a little bit. But at the same point, the past two seasons, Lions have been at 500 at this point, last season and in 2018 under Matt Patricia. So, I don't know. We'll find out. We'll see what they can do against Indy. Indy's defense is very good.
Yeah.
Their offense is not so good. It's going to be interesting. It'll be interesting if we get Trufant back. Justin Coleman should be coming back soon. Now we've picked up Everson Griffin, who will start against the Vikings for us. It feels like that was maybe a rounding the corner kind of game for them. Now, if they win against Indy, this next stretch is absolutely winnable.
I was just going to say, so these next six games are extremely important if they want to make a postseason run. Yep. I mean, you got the Colts, Vikings, Washington, Panthers, Texans, Bears. If they can win Sunday, you got to think they're favored against the Vikings, they're favored against Washington, and they're favored against the Texans. And then the Panthers and Bears are probably coin flips.
Yep.
So if they win Sunday and they win the three they're favored, they go 4-2. It puts them at 7-5 with a pretty tough four-game stretch to end the year, but at least it gives them a shot.
Yeah, it gives them a shot. And the key here is you hope the NFC West, they just cannibalize themselves.
Yeah.
Because right now they got three teams with five wins. between the Seahawks, Cardinals, and the Rams. So you hope that they cannibalize themselves so they don't squeak out those wild card spots.
Right.
Unfortunately, that Bears game, that week one loss, now takes even more meaning.
Yeah, that hurts a lot now.
That hurts a lot. But you have to beat the Vikings. You have to win both games. You have to beat Indy. And at this point, you have to win out until you get to that last Bears game.
Carolina's going to be tough because I'm sure McCaffrey will be back then.
McCaffrey will be back. DJ Moore has, the past couple weeks, has turned it on. Robbie Anderson has been super consistent all year. And Teddy Bridgewater is not a bad quarterback. So, not looking ahead, the Indy game, it's going to be an interesting one. I would hope. I'm going to take the Lions in it, but it wouldn't shock me at all to see Rivers have a huge game.
To have any hope at the playoffs with these next four, so Indy, Vikings, Washington, and Carolina, 3-1 has to be the line, right?
Yeah, 3-1.
You've got to come out of this at 6-4, worst case scenario.
Yeah, you can't go 500, because if you go 500, you can pretty much kiss the playoffs.
Yeah, now you're just screwing a draft pick at that point. But I mean, it's realistic.
It is.
That's crazy to say, because 2 weeks ago I was saying this team was dead.
Yeah, the sky was falling for this team 2 weeks ago, and now you look at the schedule, and I'm not going to say it, but somebody said in this Lions preview, they go on a little run here, and that's where they push for the playoffs. I'm just saying.
It's feasible. It's very feasible.
I don't know who that was, but I'm just saying.
It wasn't me.
It wasn't you.
I can tell you that. It wasn't me.
But no, man, the Lions are starting to look good. DeAndre Swift is looking absolutely worth that second-round pick.
Yep.
He's starting to reward the Lions faithful. So
they have a nice little stable there. I think the addition of Adrian Peterson was really smart.
Yeah, and you know, and Kerryon Johnson, he isn't getting touches, but holy crap, can that dude pass block?
Yeah. He looks like he's owned his role of being that third down guy.
Yeah, absolutely. And he is a Matt Stafford savior.
Which, that'll get you paid. You can get paid doing that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, LeGarrette Blount had an entire career based on that.
Right.
So, I mean,
it's a very good example, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I'm ready, man. I'm ready to see what happens.
It'll be interesting. I think you hate to say this in week 7 or 8 or whatever the hell this is, but that feels like this is a must-win game again.
Yeah. Oh, it is. Absolutely. When you've dropped the games that they've dropped already, yeah, this is must-win.
We will see. It seems like they're playing a little bit more together, and there's a little bit more continuity with that team.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I think Dron Harmon has been a huge help.
Yeah. What's the status on Coleman?
Let me look here. He should be coming back soon.
God, that'd be nice, wouldn't it?
That'd be nice. Justin Coleman. So they've activated Bo Scarborough.
Why?
I don't know.
He ain't gonna play.
No. So they got some good news. He's returning to practice.
Good.
So he's practicing. So
hell, maybe this week then.
Yeah, he might be. He might be late scratch or a late addition. So we'll see.
That would be nice. So I'm gonna pose this question before we close this down to you and to all of our listeners. Feel free to comment on Facebook with this. Do you start Lamar Jackson and Andrews versus Pittsburgh, or do you start Brady and Gronk versus the Giants?
I ain't telling you because you're ahead of me right now.
All right.
Do your own research, Jordan.
Listeners, let us know. Let me know on Facebook. Do I start Brady and Gronk, or do I start Lamar and Andrews?
I don't know the answer to this, but
I think I know too.
I can't tell you.
All right, man. I think that probably covers everything. Do you got anything else you want to touch on, or should we go ahead and shut her down?
No, man. Just thanks again, everybody. Thank you, Watershed Voice, for listening in. It's always a fun week for us Michigan State fans. Hate week. But no, I've got nothing. Stay safe. Have a happy Halloween, and go green.
Go blue.